You're with The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. At this hour, a ceremony marking the occasion, National POW MIA Recognition Day, is underway at the National Memorial Cemetery of the Pacific at Punch Bowl. For families of two men, Army Master Sergeant Charles McDaniel and Army Private First Class William Jones, it's a big day. The remains of the men, American servicemen, were identified after they were returned to U.S. soil by North Korea in August. Sergeant McDaniel's son, Charles, is in Hawaii to mark the occasion. HPR's Ryan Finnerty talked to POW MIA Accounting Agency's Johnny Webb about the process of how the two fallen Americans were identified.
When the remains came back from North Korea, the 55 boxes of remains, we had done a preliminary analysis of those remains while they were still in Korea when we moved them to South Korea. And so as we were looking at those, we noticed that there was something, you know, that's kind of unique about these individuals. One of the boxes had the a dog tag, the identification tag, for Army Sergeant Master Sergeant Charles H. McDaniel. So that was in one of the boxes, but we knew that didn't really ensure that those were going to be his remains, but at least it gave us a starting point. And then the other individual, Army PFC William H. Jones, was in one of the boxes. But when we looked at those remains, we realized that he was a very tall individual that, for at least for that time period, and that he was African-American, which again gave us the opportunity to narrow down the search of who that could be. And so by doing that and having the dentition, having those additional pieces of information, and then doing some of the actual forensics work, we came up with these two names, did a lot of work to confirm that, and then we had done the identification, but we wanted to confirm it with DNA, so we had DNA cut and tested, and that was confirmed that both of the individuals were identified.
And I mean, that's a pretty amazing feat out of the thousands, tens of thousands of American service members who are missing, to be able to get a positive identification on two men, especially whose relatives are, you know, several generations beyond now.
Yes, we were very excited to be able to actually move those identifications, to actually say that, yes, show that we are working these, you know, with all the diligence that we can to be able to get these two identifications and get them, the families notified, and these men returned to their homeland and to their families.
And can you tell us, Johnny, a little bit about these two men? Where did they come from? What did they do in the Army? And maybe where they served?
Sure. So Master Sergeant McDaniel was in the Army. And in November of 1950, he was a medic with the 8th Cavalry Regiment Medical Company, and he was supporting elements from the 3rd Battalion. And when the unit engaged with enemy forces of the Chinese People's Volunteers, he was actually killed close to the village of Unsan in North Korea. And so he was reported missing. So no one was sure what happened, but he had been reported missing when they did a muster, and he was not present. So he was unaccounted for by his unit. And then PFC Jones was also killed during the Korean War. And he was a member of Company E, 2nd Battalion, 24th Infantry Division, 24th Infantry Regiment, 25th Infantry Division. And they were engaged in attacks against the Chinese People's Volunteer, again, in the same general vicinity of where McDaniels is located. And he, on the 26th of November 1950, after his unit made a fighting withdrawal, he could not be accounted for, and that's also was reported as missing in action.
And Johnny, I understand you had the opportunity to meet the family members of one of the two men today. Could you tell us a little bit about what that was like and how did they react to getting their loved one back?
Well, we have the two sons of Master Sergeant McDaniel here, and they had actually attended our annual meeting in Washington, D.C. in August. And at that point, we were able to present their father's dog tag to them, and it's something that was totally unexpected. And as both of them have said, they never thought that this would ever happen. But then when they got the dog tag and were able to actually hold the dog tag, they said, well, and we had told them, simply because his dog tag is there, that's not an indication that your father's remains were there. So, and it's what Larry said, you know, it's something that they never expected. Charles, who is a retired Army colonel, chaplain, said, well, you know, this kind of gave us a halfway point to realize that, hey, there is a possibility. Now we realize there is maybe a possibility when they never thought there was one. But they were still, based on you know, us telling them no guarantees, that they left wondering, could it be, and gave them a glimmer of hope. And so then when they were notified, needless to say, they were you know, pretty emotional. And because they were very, very young, when their dad went off to war and didn't come back home. And so they didn't have a lot of memories of their dad, but had got, you know, stories from their mom about their dad. And so now this actually gives them something to say, okay, now, and we actually did an interview with them with their father's photograph, and they said, you know, we just love that photograph. It's something that, you know, now we really cherish to have that photograph and to see, you know, what our father was all about, and to find out what a, you know, what a great American he actually was.
And these are two very high-profile cases because of the peace effort with North Korea, but these types of identifications and this type of work are being done by the Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency all the time. Is that correct?
That's correct. The identifications are progressing every day, and while we're not at the end of the year yet, we're anticipating that by the end of our fiscal year, which is the end of September, that we will have accounted for over 200 individuals this year.
And what do you think it means to family members, maybe even to current members of the military, that the United States still undertakes this effort, even though the Korean War ended more than 50 years ago, World War II even farther beyond that, but your agency is still out there spending the resources and the time and using expertise from around the world to find these men and women and bring them back?
Well, you raise a very good point. And when you ask, you talk about the young men and women in uniform today, I think it's important for them that, you know, those of us that wear the uniform and have worn the uniform, you know, part of our creed is to never leave a fallen behind. And so I think it registers with them that even if, you know, they can't be found or brought back, you know, at the time of death, that their nation is never going to forget them, and we're going to do everything we can to bring them back to their homeland and back to their family. So I think it helps with the morale of the young men and women in uniform today. As far as other family members, I think every time we do this, it gives those family members a little comfort in knowing that their loved ones have not been forgotten. They did not die in vain, and their military and their nation has not forgotten them. They're not written off, but they're someone that we still are doing everything we can to try to bring them back home. And I think, you know, it's important for the American public to understand that. And I think it kind of says a lot about who we are as a nation, that we're willing to go to that effort to bring these men who gave their lives for our freedom back home.
All right. Well, Johnny Webb, congratulations on the success, and thank you so much for sharing your experience with us.
Well, happy to do it, and thanks for allowing me the opportunity.
That was Johnny Webb, the Deputy Director for Outreach and Communication of the Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency, talking with HPR's Ryan Finnerty.